That's pretty good chair dancing music right there is what that is. As we get ready for Christmas, you know, we're just a few weeks away now. Holiday shopping season will begin in about a week. What?
1 week away.
What?
1 week.
Not ready yet. Yes. Need more time.
1 week.
Got to get to the stores.
There we go.
We will have some open phone time coming up at the end of today's program. Right now, we're joined via the telephone by Tom Whitehead. Tom, first of all, thank you for taking the time and joining us this morning. I know you've got a busy schedule this week, so we do greatly appreciate it. And Tom, I just want to start for folks that aren't familiar with your daughter Emily and the story and the foundation here, the Emily Whitehead Foundation. Can you just recap for us the remarkable, inspirational story that that is your daughter and how this foundation came to be?
Yeah, good morning, Jeff, and I appreciate you having me on. So you know when Emily was born, she was perfectly healthy up until she turned 5 years old. And in 2010, she was diagnosed with leukemia. And literally, she was healthy on a Thursday and on a morphine pump at Penn State Children's Hospital on a Friday. We got started when we were told that she had the most curable kind of cancer. And she had a tough start, but got in remission, stayed that way for 16 months, and then she relapsed. And we actually treated locally quite a bit there at Mount Nittany Medical Center with Dr. Jim Pausch. I think Emily was the first child to receive chemotherapy there at Mount Nittany Medical Center. But when she relapsed, things took a harsh turn for us. And, you know, we got to a point where our doctors at Penn State Hershey told us that there was nothing else to be done than take her home and enjoy the days you have left with her. And then we transferred to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where a trial had opened the day before, and she became the first child in the world with her immune system trained to beat her cancer, and it opened a whole new revolution of how to fight cancer. And that continues today. And with all of the press and the international media coverage that her story got, that brought calls from parents and patients from all over the world who said, "We're being sent home in hospice as well, and we're not ready to do that. Can you help us?" So we started the Emily Whitehead Foundation to help pay it forward. That's been our mission from day one, is just to help other families have the same outcome as we have had. And now, you know, I would say probably at least a quarter of the calls we get are from adults. And we help people from all over the world, but especially locally. We've been doing more and more. And Emily, what her breakthrough created has led to over 20,000 patients finding a treatment when standard therapy isn't working in now than over 82 countries.
It is absolutely breathtaking. I lost my sister to breast cancer, but she was given probably about 7 years of a quality life that we weren't expecting because of an experimental treatment that she got involved with as well. And they were really hesitant. They're like, "Listen, you're too far gone. It's not going to really do anything." And it was kind of some begging and pleading. It's like, well, you know, you have nothing to lose if there's room here, and there was room in it. They're like, "Well, okay, you just, you know, we don't want you to expect anything." And again, it was truly amazing. It allowed her then very young children to at least know her. I mean, they have memories of her that they would not otherwise have had. And, you know, obviously we continue to see and make advancements on the cancer treatment front. But Emily's story, Tom, is just remarkable. Can you take us through what the experience was like? Because I can't even imagine, as a father, the going through this and now being able to look back on it with, I guess, some measure of perspective. But I cannot imagine the joy you must have, especially as we head into the holidays, at just being able to have your family together again for another year. And if you can give us, I'm pretty familiar with the story, but Emily, give us an update on how she's doing and where she's at in her life now, because that is also, again, to me, just very, very inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just like you said, we went from being told that she had a 1 in 1,000 chance that she would be alive in the morning to now she's 11 years cancer-free and past 11 years since she even spent a night in the hospital. But during that time, you know, it was very brutal. And I tell everybody, you know, we were part of Thon when Emily was at Penn State. And the students and the athletes at Penn State really stepped up and helped keep us sane during that time. I mean, even when Emily was treated in Philadelphia, a lot of the students that we were connected with left Penn State even during finals to come to the hospital in Philadelphia to visit her. But, you know, we received a miracle. We the doctors all agree. You know, they just said we've never seen a child that sick get better any faster, and now it's helped so many other people in the world. But, you know, Emily, during that time, I told her to stay positive, you know, and no matter what, she was going to beat cancer, and she believed that. And I think staying positive has a, you know, a huge impact, especially on the kids that are fighting cancer. But now, you know, she graduated high school last year. She's a straight-A student. She had gotten waitlisted at Penn, so she had accepted to come to Penn State, and we were perfectly happy with that. But at the last minute, the University of Pennsylvania brought her off the waitlist and then gave her a very nice scholarship. So she knew that was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime offer. So she has just finished her first semester at the University of Pennsylvania, and she's thriving in life and kind of saying, you know, I did that then, but I'm in charge of the rest of my life now, and I have a lot more to do.
Yeah, just very, very cool. Tom, talk a little bit about the foundation and where we're at now with the foundation. What are kind of the goals of the foundation now? And also, obviously, we'll give you a chance to let people know how they can contribute and donate to the foundation.
Yeah, so, you know, in the beginning, we were just raising money with Emily's name because so many people knew about it and donating towards the research to further these new, less toxic treatments. Because, you know, we did 22 months of failed standard treatment that would get her in remission and then she'd relapse, get her in remission and relapse. And once she had her own T cells extracted from her body and trained, she was cancer-free 23 days later after she was treated.
Wow.
So we've refocused because now the research is very well funded. When Joe Biden was vice president, he got in touch with us and said, I just used Emily's story to get another $2 billion from Congress for cancer research. So it's much better funded at this point. So now the problem is there's so many breakthroughs happening and so many options that they are telling me less than 10% of the patients that would qualify for these new less toxic treatments are actually getting them. So we spend a lot of our time now. I take calls from patients from all over the world, and we spend time helping them find a trial that they might be able to qualify for, because a lot of them aren't reaching out until, you know, hey, standard treatment's failing you, and an oncology nurse will walk in and say, maybe you want to look up the Whitehead Foundation. They might help you find another option.
Wow.
So a lot of our time now is advocating for and helping these patients find a treatment somewhere that might save their lives.
Now, Tom, we have an event tomorrow night. We'll be broadcasting here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox from the We Are In. Penn State basketball team will be featured prominently, but be raising some money for the Emily Whitehead Foundation. Can you talk a little bit about tomorrow's event and again, what these kind of collaborative efforts mean, because I every time I think of you and your daughter, I cannot help but remember and think about how it really did, and I think still does, pull the community together. And it's unfortunate sometimes that it takes, you know, somebody in very trying circumstances or a community getting hit with something that they weren't expecting to pull us together, but it is still nonetheless nice to see people pull together, and I feel like tomorrow night's event is just another example of that happening.
Yeah, and I mean, I can remember the Penn State basketball team coming to even visit with Emily when she was actually in treatment down at the Children's Hospital there in Hershey. But, you know, we feel honored that Pat Romano's holding a private event there tomorrow with the Penn State basketball players. And, you know, they have some donors coming in who want to donate, and they picked our charity to be part of it. So we're just very thankful to get a chance to meet up with the players. We've had Penn State athletic support ever since Emily was diagnosed. I can remember in the past that we were asked to go in and share our story with the wrestling team before a match. I think it was around 2017, and inspire them. And when I left there, I said, "Well, is this what Coach Sanderson does all the time?" And they're like, "No, you're the first family that he brought in to actually do this." So just the, you know, Penn State's always been home for us, and my wife Carrie works there in research, and I attended for a year in 1988 before I went on the power line. So, you know, that's where our heart's always been at Penn State, and to have these players come over to our hometown and spread awareness of our foundation and help us raise money, it's really amazing. And I would also like to add that for people to see what's going on, they can listen in on your radio station tomorrow night, but then Thursday night as well, we're actually having a Christmas concert that benefits us at the Phillipsburg Osceola High School. And all this can be found on our website at emilywhiteheadfoundation.org. But I'm really looking forward to get a chance to meet the players and say hello to them and thank them for making a difference.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really neat event. And again, Pat Romano has just been absolutely remarkable in his outreach with the community, and we're excited to be partnering. It'll be Jim Galani and Landon Tangwall, the I guess now former Penn State offensive lineman, that'll be hosting that event tomorrow night. And again, you can listen in from 7 to 8 tomorrow night here on the Fox. Tom, I did want to talk a little bit more about the concert on Thursday. What time does that get underway at the high school? And can people get tickets through the foundation's website as well, or do they need to do that either through the high school or at the door, or how does that work?
Yeah, it just ended up being that you can just pay at the door, and it'll be cash, or you can card or Venmo or however you like to pay, but it's just $5 for adults, I think, and $3 for children. And we have DJ Matsko, who's in New York City, but he's a very talented singer. He's coming back to Phillipsburg to participate, and the Capers Band gets together. They're very, very talented people. I got to already hear them practice, and we're just honored that they picked our foundation to benefit from this, but it should be something that the whole community can come and attend and really get in the Christmas spirit.
Very cool. Now, finals week was last week here at Penn State. Same case with Penn. Is Emily back home this week, or where's she at with classes?
Yeah, she actually she got home two nights ago, but she has to do a few more things over Zoom to finish up. But she's pretty much done with her first semester, other than a couple more Zooms with her professors to finalize things and have interviews.
The Zooms get you every time.
Oh, unbelievable. Really? Wow.
You can't just be home for the break. You got to do some Zooms.
Tom, this is Scott Giese here. I am,
right.
In my other job, the one I'm on assignment for sometimes, I have some business dealings in Phillipsburg, including with the schools. And so I know this story. And I remember a dozen or so years ago, some of my school friends were kind of down because it wasn't looking good. And so I've always referred to Emily as the miracle girl, because she is.
Yeah.
I mean, we've only got about a minute here. It sounds like this is a life's mission for you now. I mean, you're going to be doing this probably for the rest of your working days, just spreading the word about what happened and what could happen after Emily's story. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at that time when they're telling you there's a 1 in 1,000 chance that she'll be alive in the morning, and, you know, I was basically praying at that time that if she gets through this, I'll spend the rest of my life making a difference. So, you know, I wake up every day thankful to still be her father, and we do everything we can to help other people have that outcome. And we've been very fortunate to have, you know, part of what we did is if we come and share her story some at your event, you have to do something separate that's fun. We've been able to travel all over the world, and we have offers to travel even more this year. So we're going to continue to do that, and a lot of our travels are sharing her story to inspire the people that are missing a lot of time with their families working on these new treatments. So, you know, I feel blessed every day, and just try to do what I can to help others have that same outcome, because we had so much support. That's what kept me sane during that time, was all the support. And the doctors have told me they've never seen anything like the support we got from this area. So,
well, you are definitely making a difference. We thank you for your time this morning. EmilyWhiteheadFoundation.org.